Keep It is brought to you by Built. So listen, a lot of us have high costs. We're dealing with mortgages. We pay in a lot of these bills. And I have a question for you guys. Are you getting rewarded for paying your rent or mortgage right now? And if the answer is no, you really need to check out Built, because becoming a Built member means earning points on every housing payment, no matter where you live. And Built points can be redeemed for flights, hotels, Lyft rides, Amazon.com purchases, future housing payments, and more. And personally, I'm gonna use that for a flight.
Oh, yeah. Oh, do I love saving money on a flight?
If I pay a bill, I need to travel off of it.
I'm sorry. Do you know what feels good? Casual luxury. That's me. An unexpected benefit Built gives every member access to is its agentic neighborhood concierge in the Built app. It doesn't just give you information about your home and neighborhood. It executes. It's connected to your home and over 50,000 merchant partners, so you can ask it to pay your rent, make a dinner reservation, book a fitness class, schedule a Lyft, and more. It makes things happen while automatically applying your member benefits along the way. For a crowd that thinks a lot about what agentic AI actually looks like in practice, this is an example worth paying attention to. First, download the Built app. Second, link any credit or debit card to the app so purchases at your local spots become even more rewarding. And third, ask the neighborhood concierge in the app pretty much anything. It'll tell you about exclusive member benefits at restaurants, fitness studios, on your Lyft rides, more around your home. And for the homeowners out there, Built works for mortgages too. Your housing payment is one of the biggest monthly expenses. So why wouldn't you want to earn points on
it? I'm just saying. So you guys just have to download the Built app and join the membership for where you live at joinbuilt.com/keepit. That's joinbuilt.com/keepit. Use our link so they know we sent you.
The Jonas Brothers are running it back. Relive the Burning Up Tour and celebrate the biggest Jonas Brothers hits that have defined a generation. One incredible celebration. One unforgettable night. See the Jonas Brothers live across North America in 2026. Get tickets now at livenation.com. Jonas Brothers, the Burning Up Tour, all over again.
At Ross, you'll find everything your kids need when they go back to school. From fashion to school supplies to dorm room decor, Ross has it all. Because it isn't just the first day of school for them, it's a new year, a new look, and endless possibilities. When they walk back through those school doors, they're a different kid than the one who walked out months ago, ready for anything. Back to school starts at Ross. Find your nearest Ross at rossstores.com.
And we are back. This is Keep It. I'm Nina Parker.
I'm Louis Fertel. Still.
You said that very seriously.
Oh, I like to get authoritative at the start of the show. Let everyone know exactly what they're dealing with.
And you're in your chocolate brown. You're serious business today.
Oh, yes. Actually, brown is a little bit of a controversial color when you're this sort of like chocolatey pink. So we'll see how it goes.
I think it works well.
Oh, thank you.
A little mauve and chocolate.
Meanwhile, you looked sensational in this color last week, so I'm kind of copying you.
Oh, thank you. I'm copying you because you were in blue.
That's true. That is my color, and watch yourself.
We do a little flip-flop. All right, let's get into this because we have a lot to discuss today. We don't have a guest.
Right.
So we're going to get into it.
Just pure confrontation. Nina and Louis sparring.
Pure confrontation and keep it. All right, so last week, representatives for Prince Harry and Meghan Markle told People magazine that the couple is moving back to the UK. Now, this comes 6 years after the Duke and Duchess stepped away from the royal duties and brought their family to the U.S. after a flurry of press, memoirs, and multi-million dollar deals with Netflix and Spotify. Now, it seems like the former royals' time in the U.S. is up. Louis, are you sad to see them go? What do you think about Harry and Meghan, you know, moving back across the pond?
Having a life at all.
Yeah.
Here's my question about Harry and Meghan and the royal family and the people who follow the royal family.
Sure.
When does it get good? I'm sorry, like, what's the good part? Like, here's the thing. If they get married, that's fun. I love a wedding. I remember Princess Di and the sort of like her tendrils. I remember that.
The tendrils.
I remember Kate Middleton waving very well like this. Real Vanna White shit. Can really wave at a crowd. Meghan Markle looking fabulous. They have a kid. That's fun. What else? Why do people keep up on this stuff? I can only compare it to following a soap for 50 years. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm watching Days of Our Lives in 1975, I'm going to be watching it now. But otherwise, there's no events with these people. Like, I hear this story and I'm like, God, I hope they have security.
I feel like I found my tribe when I'm talking to you, because I have never been a royals person. I've just never been interested in the royals. Like, it's been unavoidable, especially being like a kid in the 80s and 90s, the tabloids and the fodder and all of the big stories. I didn't dislike them. I just didn't care.
Yeah, like, what's the personality I'm connecting with? Like, you know, it's like,
yeah.
Unfortunately, I feel like we've really, in the age of things like reality TV, like, I don't mean to be dismissive of like hundreds of years of royalty, but truly the cast of Vanderpump Rules is more interesting than the royal family.
Well let's not get crazy. Well, hold on now. There ain't never a win. I don't know about that. This is a rock
Nina
and a hard
storming
place.
Storming off the set.
I'm like, whoa, my head just shook a little bit. But I don't find them interesting or disinterested. Like, I just feel much of nothing. The most interesting part is how the royals are covered for me.
Likewise. You know? And we come from journalism. So I'm like, the sensationalism that they need to sell in order to make the royals interesting. And when that dovetails with things like racism.
Right.
Then I'm interested because I'm like, well, okay, well, who's buying that, you know?
Right.
But otherwise, the actual there, like when Prince Harry's memoir came out, which had, you know, I remember him talking about his penis extensively, still couldn't get me to pick up a book.
Yeah, it's fine. And I think I like the fact that they moved here because it seemed like they weren't going to get a break from the British press. But, you know, like now they probably leave. And I'm going to tell you why. This lettuce.
Yeah. Oh.
The lettuce is going bad. Megan can't make salad.
You think you're talking about a chicken Caesar wrap.
Yes.
And you're saying she's like, I'm going to head back over there.
She's in that kitchen trying to make a gem salad.
Yeah.
And she can't find the gems or the salad. So, of course, they're going back. I'll get the hell out. If I had an option to go and have property on the beautiful, you know, meadow. So I don't know. This is where I imagine them going to.
I'm thinking meadow myself.
You know, like, I probably would, too. It's a hellscape over here.
Right.
We can't eat blueberries. We can't eat salads. The people is dying of measles. It's the ghetto.
Yeah.
I'd like to go with them. Do they need a nanny?
Probably.
Because I'm over it. So I would probably leave, too. I don't think it has anything to do with their projects. Everybody's saying, oh, they're failed projects. They're this. Can I say something? Landing a $20 million Spotify deal, whether this takes off or not, is a big accomplishment for any person.
Sure.
Even if it fell apart, landing a Netflix show that got 2 seasons, great accomplishment. Having a memoir, great accomplishment. People keep saying, oh, they're failures. People telling them they're failures who haven't accomplished an inch of what they have done is incredibly shocking to me. We got the guy in the check cashing line calling Meghan Markle a bum.
Well, also, again, it's like, what would success actually be for a member of the royal family? Like, I say this appreciatively, like, Princess Diana spent most of her time, you know, doing, like, philanthropic efforts.
Sure.
That's not really a career.
Yeah, well, okay. Now, Louis, wait a minute.
I'm just saying, Meghan and Harry have made efforts to be like, we're participating in the world. Like, okay, we work in entertainment now, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, like, Meghan has always been in entertainment. We know her as an actress, so, you know, and then it's like...
And a Deal or No Deal briefcase, girl. Anybody who comes from game shows, that's my sister.
Listen, people were mad that she quit acting for her marriage and family. Now she's going back and people don't like that. Oh, they had to drop her because there's so much backlash from the people in the UK. She can't do anything right. So I feel like I would be doing whatever, too. I'd be throwing anything at the wall because whatever you do is going to be criticized. But especially by the British press, the only thing that I don't like is that, you know, they're going to be harassed and hounded over there.
Right. Again, so, just to make the story saleable.
Yeah.
You know, we need to get them hot and bothered if this is going to be anything that people care about.
Yeah. And you would hope that the British press would have learned this lesson, but they haven't. And it's hard to watch. It's hard to watch them, you know, pick them apart. And I guess it's just how this system that they have had in place for a long time with the royals. But the obsessiveness of it is just silly to me. I don't get it.
Yeah. Also, I'm sorry. It's like when you don't have like a Queen Elizabeth anymore, who like was, you know, not just the matriarch of that family, but like sort of like granted the royal family a sense of seriousness. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, is King Charles really giving a shit about like the goings on anymore? He's with Camilla. Like, it's like happily ever after and boringly so.
Yeah. It feels a little bit like we're just going through the motions.
Yeah.
You know, very much so. And again, as someone who's not super invested, I don't particularly care, but I do care that people are being treated with decency. And I feel like that would be a challenge. So I'm curious to see what they do there. They're going to be enrolling the kids in school. So, you know, there's going to be some things going on. And I hope that Megan does get back into acting. They said that was one of the driving forces. So, you know, potentially, you know, her getting back into acting, whether or not this role is going to be hers on this Netflix show or not, I'm glad that she's getting back out there.
And also, I think we'll probably have Suits spinoffs for the rest of our lives. So there's always going to be an opportunity for her come on back, I think.
If they're going to do it again, they've got to bring back the originals. They got to bring back the OGs.
Yeah.
Because I was a big watcher of Suits. Were you?
No. Did you watch the seasons with Katie Heigl?
I didn't.
I have a problem where I defend Katie Heigl.
Okay.
I don't understand why we got rid of her. I liked her as a comic actress and as a force. And on Grey's Anatomy, where we gave her the most insane storylines maybe ever put to film.
What was she doing? Oh, like
she was like making love to her like dying lover patient.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're probably not going to hear me defend her much. Okay. I'm going to just say that.
Oh, yeah. No. Well, again, I've been a fan since Wish Upon a Star on the Disney Channel.
You like her personality.
That's not what I said.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, I defend her because of that. I don't think you need to have a winning personality to be a winner.
Ooh, winner. Strong word.
I believe in competitiveness. I come from a Catholic baseball family.
Have you seen her, like, movement into the trad wife lifestyle and the postings of in, like, the floral turtleneck dresses?
No, but I do believe actresses should be frightening. And so I am rooting for the intimidation factor of don't fuck with me in my apron.
You do like a little, you do like to take a little twist and turn now and then.
I like a little austerity.
Yes. Yes, I am glad I missed her on Suits. I honestly didn't.
I'm glad.
I'm thankful that I missed it. I honestly didn't know she joined the cast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so I watched, you know, when Jessica was still there.
Yeah.
And when Jessica left, so did I.
You know what? I'm trying to think of a TV show I watched until a character left. Because you secretly, you do watch a lot of TV shows serialized for one character in particular. Mm-hmm. I almost stopped watching Mad Men when the character of Rachel Mankin, played by the fabulous Maggie Siff, left the show. She ended up on Sons of Anarchy. But otherwise, that's a good question. Like somebody who ruined a TV show for you by leaving.
I mean,
leaving.
That Glenn dying on The Walking Dead made me leave the show. I didn't go back until like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I stopped watching after Glenn died. I knew it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
I still stopped. I was like, I was devastated. Like, he might as well be my cousin.
Yeah.
I said, oh, no, they won't have me. I won't be back.
Because I stick it out. Like, I'm in denial in a way when people leave. Like, when Tim Gunn left Project Runway, I'm like, I'm still doing it. And Christian's the same.
Are we having, like, separation issues from people? I think we are.
Yeah. No, I don't want to say I don't have parasocial relationships with people. I absolutely do.
Yeah.
But no, I need more actors to actually connect with. I don't remember the last time I really vibed with an actor.
Yeah, it's hard to when you finally find something that you enjoy and they rip someone out of our cold hands. It's a devastating feeling.
Yes. But anyway, the royal family, I don't get it. Candle in the Wind 97, that I get.
That we get.
Yeah.
I get it. I you know, it's weird because I don't have a particular dislike, but I just don't.
It's oversold.
There are some people that I know, especially like when I was working at E, people were obsessed. Like people were obsessed. They had someone just on the royal beat.
Yeah.
And I was like, I literally want to get, like I had to do this every day. Gouge my eyes out.
Making something out of nothing. No, when like the Prince Andrew stuff with like the Epstein files recently, like there's people in my office at Kimmel who really, really, really care. And there was like a sense of triumph about him being sort of outed or whatever. And I was like, I have not thought about this man one time. I used to love Sarah Ferguson's Weight Watchers commercials.
Oh my gosh.
That I get.
That's a throwback.
Yeah.
Now you're aging us. And no, now we have to leave this conversation.
But let me just be clear. I could be anywhere between 40 and 500 years old. So it's not really aging me.
I feel like 25 to 100. You cover a lot of range.
Oh, that's true. Well, anyway, we have tons of juice coming up this episode. But first, I have a message for any politically engaged Keep It listeners. Idiots. Here at Crooked, we believe the answer to right-wing authoritarianism is a big, fun pro-democracy movement. And that's why CrookedCon is back. Join us in D.C. from November 5th. Through the 7th for 3 days of live shows, panels, candidate forums, and maybe even a drink or two. Plus, there will be all sorts of interesting media personalities to bump into, including, oh my God, me.
And me.
Oh, you're going to be there?
I'm going to be there.
I thought I was just going to do monologues. Fuck. Anyway, we cannot wait to see you there. Head to crookedcon.com for tickets, lineup announcements, and more. We'll be right back.
Today's show is sponsored by Strawberry.me. Have you ever written a review about a product or a service that you've used? And you've got to be pretty pissed off or blown away by something to take the time and energy to write a review. And that's why I'm so happy that I saw all the positive reviews for our sponsor, Strawberry.me. The site that matches you with a certified coach to help you with your career. And it's not just a few reviews. There's literally hundreds of them at strawberry.me/reviews, all unfiltered and glowing.
One after another, my coach was amazing. The experience was transformative. I landed a new job within weeks. And how about this one? It helped transform me back into a high-powered leader following my extended maternity leave. When so many people go out of their way to write a positive review about something, you know that something is special. So if you're feeling stuck at work, do what tens of thousands of people have already done. Go to strawberry.me/keepit and claim 50% off your first coaching session. That's strawberry.me/keepit.
Keep It is brought to you by Helix. And I say that because I'm looking at you. You look rested.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's a lie. Guess what happened? Last night, my friends and I watch old movies and we get chicken from Genghis Cohen in Los Angeles. We call it Queen Chicken Night and we watch an old movie. And then I stay up late and then I have to write jokes for usually Jimmy Kimmel, but Rosie O'Donnell today. And I was up at 6 a.m. to do that. And so I'm not well rested. But the reason I appear well rested is because of my Helix mattress. Ooh. Darling.
Put me on game.
Okay. Well, I've had my Midnight Lux Helix mattress for, God, 3 years now. Mm. My sleep has beyond improved. Not only do I look forward to sleep more than I ever have before, you just melt into it.
There's
I just belong
like
in the bed. Ooh. I belong more there than anywhere else. I'm talking to
bed.
You. I'm thinking of bed.
I love a comfy bed.
You know what I'm saying? Helix delivers your mattress right to your door with free shipping in the U.S. and has a 120-night sleep trial and limited lifetime warranty.
Wow. And you can rest easy with seamless returns and exchanges. The Happy with Helix Guarantee offers a risk-free, customer-first experience designed to ensure that you're completely satisfied with your new mattress. And Helix is the most awarded mattress brand tested and reviewed by experts like Forbes and Wired.
Go to helixsleep.com/keepit for 27% off site-wide, exclusive for listeners of Keep It. That's helixsleep.com/keepit for 27% off site-wide, exclusive for listeners of Keep It. helixsleep.com/keepit.
Legendary singer, actor, activist, and icon, Dolly Parton, has passed away at the age of 80. We just found this information out and we're doing this really raw.
I mean, as raw as possible. I mean, when I heard this news, my immediate reaction was, no, she didn't. It was like some
we
people
gasped.
Are so embedded in just our appreciation of life itself.
Yeah.
And Dolly Parton is one of those people, somebody who you can't even pick a signature thing she has done. Mm-hmm. Her career is so staggering. This is somebody who has worked for 6 decades.
Yes.
This is somebody who was a star almost immediately after she emerged. And there are no bounds basically to what she has achieved. You could start with just the activism. You could start with just getting people to read. Yeah. I mean, like starting there, moving on, like the singles she has written alone, and nobody was a more consummate songwriter than Dolly Parton. She wrote every day. She was proud to be a songwriter. Everybody knows her hits like 9 to 5 and Jolene, and of course mm-hmm. that she wrote I Will Always Love You, which later became a phenomenal hit for Whitney Houston. It was also a phenomenal hit for her. But she has so many amazing songs beyond that that feel so authentic to the charming, witty, indefatigable person she was. Yeah. I love Bargain Store by Dolly Parton. I love Two Doors Down. That's such a fun party anthem. She has an Oscar-nominated song from the movie Transamerica called Travelin' Through that is extremely underrated. She just had so many fabulous songs. Her albums, the trio albums with Linda Ronstadt and Emmylou Harris. Before you even get into the movies, like 9 to 5, Steel Magnolias. She was even great in that movie Joyful Noise a few years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just whatever she set her mind to, she was the most welcome energy. The kind of person whom one joke in or one line in or just one glance at you, one strum of the guitar and you felt like you knew her. It's just there is a hole in popular culture now that she is gone.
Absolutely. Her nephew delivered the news on social media to her fans, and that's how the news was broken. He did that in a video and talked about her life and legacy and being a little boy and touring with her and the impact that she made on the lives of everyone around her. And when you talk about just a cultural icon, someone who everybody loves. You think of Dolly and someone who was unapologetically themselves, but also was left the door open for somebody to come in after her. Never, ever felt like she was the person who sat in competition. She was the one who felt like there was abundance for everyone. And as recently had, you know, clothing line. She just was always a businesswoman, but she cared about her fans. They were her family. The thing that broke me when I watched the video with her nephew, there was a black and white photo and it was Dolly saying, "I will always love you." And I think in this climate that we're in, she was one of the people that brought us joy, and it is a significant loss to the world to lose Dolly.
I mean, it's possible she is the most well-liked celebrity of all time.
Agreed.
I don't think that's hyperbole to say. And I think you also just put your finger on something that's really important, is that as consummate a businesswoman as she was just as caring about people. You really, in this day and age, it feels like those two things are at odds, that somebody who is that strong a business person and that assertive can't possibly be, you know, so in love with helping the community around her, the community she grew up in, as well as, you know, all of America. Just thinking of how her one-liners, like that she would go on a talk show and immediately like get you with a joke that was so fabulous, you know, that she would just be, and then at the same time be like, "My favorite food is still Velveeta."
And you know what? I remember being a kid and watching her in 9 to 5. And, you know, a lot of times, especially like in the 80s, they would sell you this dream that like you if you're a woman, and listen, me and Dolly had a lot in common with these boobies,
baby, go,
you know, and she always made you feel like you can be girly and you can like multiple things. You can want rhinestones and also know how to read this contract. You know,
yes.
Dolly was someone who was like, you can do it all and you don't have to be, you know, women don't have to be one thing. You know, it's what you imagine it to be. And as a kid, like maybe that didn't all saturate with me, but it made an impression. And in addition to her singing, like she really on the silver screen dominated, and she was just charming and likable. And, you know, I hate to say it, but it's like, it just don't make them like Dolly anymore.
No.
And, just such a significant loss in the sense that in a time where everybody is trying to be like someone else, when authenticity is hard to find, Dolly was just a shining light in that. And this just really, really makes me sad.
Yeah. That she was both such a traditional country artist and yet so incomparable.
Yeah.
I love that that dichotomy, that she could be so a student of great music, create great music, and yet she was only herself at any given time. I haven't even begun to understand that this is real. So I hope you'll forgive us for seeming so impromptu at this
moment. We're just getting the news, and we know that tributes will pour in. And you know, I think for me, when I think about, like, when I go to a funeral and I go to the repast after, you know, and there's a family member, one of the things that feels the grief is being around people telling stories about how this person impacted their life. A funny story, a story of them reaching out. And I think, you know, Dolly was a person who I think we'll hear stories of helping people we had no idea she helped. I think we'll hear stories of like things that Dolly did, donations she made. Like, there's no question that we'll hear layered stories about how she impacted so many people's lives, because we probably just know just a skim of the surface. So,
right.
You know, I look forward to hearing how Dolly loved people around her from, you know, the stories that they tell. And I hope that that can fill a little spot of grief in the hearts of her fans.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think any female country artist, probably most male country artists, took cues from Dolly in some way. And I want to recommend something that people might not remember. Shania Twain, when she was emerging as a real country music superstar in the 90s, appeared on the Oprah Winfrey Show, and she sang Coat of Many Colors with Dolly Parton. And she talked about how that song was very comforting to her growing up. She grew up, you know, super poor, I believe, in deep Canada. And that performance, you can just see the appreciation on Shania's face, and that Dolly is so happy to be there right alongside her in that moment. And even though they are physically together in that video, I think that a lot of artists just felt like Dolly was there for them, period.
Yeah.
You know, there's like a spirit of support and fun that, you know, keeps life feeling bearable when it is often extremely challenging.
And I think fun is such a great word, right? Because sometimes when you think of an icon or a legend, it's serious.
Yeah.
And I think Dolly was seriously talented, but she didn't take herself too seriously. Yeah. And that's what I think so many people loved about her. And let's not get it twisted. Like, she had a resume, long resume, but she never led with that.
Yeah.
She never led with that.
It's also so strange to me, because it so rarely happens, how her talent naturally led her to the silver screen. Just that, you know, like Cher is a similar case of somebody who, like, we put her in roles and then it turned out, oh, she belonged in a movie.
Right.
You know, it's just like you think of somebody who has that kind of incomparable presence, like they couldn't possibly play a character. But when you watch her in 9 to 5, like you believe her as Dora Lee, as this person who's, you know, trying to figure out how to deal with this boss while like finding camaraderie with her female coworkers. It's just, it could only have been her in that movie. I, of course, love her in Steel Magnolia, is one of the great female ensembles everywhere. Everybody is just aces in that movie, not just Dolly, but of course, Olympia, the late great Olympia Dukakis, the fabulous and very much still with us Sally Field. Like, everybody in that movie is so good. That's my sort of regret. I wish we had gotten a few more movies with Dolly.
Me too.
Yeah, she filmed one in my hometown called Straight Talk. Not her best.
Well, you know what? I think I'm going to do is a Dolly movie marathon.
Yes.
And just soak up what tools that she left us with and take that with us. You know, I mean, we know this is coming, but it's always a shock. And I always believe in just celebrating people while they're here.
Fuck yeah.
And, you know, times are dark right now and there are a lot of people going through it. And I think stuff like this can depress you, but it also can bring you closer together. So if you are a fan of Dolly Parton, you know, share a story with a friend, watch a Dolly movie, listen to the music with a friend, do something that makes you feel good. Cause you know what? I would say that that's what she would want. I might wear a little rhinestone later, put a little rhinestone on for Dolly, but I'm sure that this will be something that we continue to talk about for a while as this penetrates Hollywood. So we'll see what people have to say. And again, I'm looking forward to at least being able to hear the warm tributes that we know are going to be coming out from so many people who loved her.
Certainly, including Jane Fonda. Jane, I'm looking forward. I also want to say, I think like a lesson to take from her life is be awesome. What if you just were awesome? What if like you just brought a great vibe wherever you went? You know, and enjoyed people and wanted to bring out the best in people.
I haven't heard a bad story about Dolly since I've been born.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dolly is one of those people who's, you know, for me and for you, she's just always been famous, right? Yeah. Like, we grew up with her being a star. And so you just, when there's people who are so iconic like that, you just don't, you know, you don't imagine them gone.
No.
And I know that she had recently, a few months ago, there was a acknowledgement of the deterioration of her health. But I still, you know, listen, I was like, Dolly is a superwoman. Like, this is not, you know, she's here with us.
Yes.
So this news still feels very unreal.
It feels very impossible.
Yeah.
No, we're entering a new phase where we have to not just cope with this, but think about everything she left us and how we need to pick up the slack in her wake. So
yes.
I'm hoping we figure that out, because that is going to be a tremendous and tough challenge.
Dolly, I'm getting a low cut shirt tonight in your honor, honey. I'm like, we outside in honor of Dolly.
Yeah.
We love you, Dolly.
Dolly, could not love you more. Thank you for everything.
And this is just a reminder that as we were leaving, we found out about Dolly. So we will send you guys back into the past with our regularly scheduled show. And we're talking about Dancing with the Stars. Keep It is brought to you by 3-Day Blinds. So I actually used the 3-Day Blinds in one of our conference rooms the other day. I just said, Alexa, open the blinds. And poof, they opened. I couldn't believe it.
Moses parting the Red Sea.
Exactly. And there is a better way to buy blinds, shades, shutters, and drapery. And it's called 3-Day Blinds. They are the leading manufacturer of high-quality custom window treatments in the U.S. And right now, if you use our URL, 3dayblinds.com/keepit, they are running a buy one, get one 50% off deals. Now, I know you've been seeing everything on social media with the home makeovers. You can jump right in. We can shop for almost anything at home. Why not shop for blinds at home too? So 3-Day Blinds has local professionally trained design consultants who have an average of 10 plus years experience that provide expert guidance for the right blinds for you in the comfort of your own home. So just set up an appointment and you'll get a free, no obligation quote the same day.
Not very handy. DIY projects can be fun, but measuring and installing blinds can be a big challenge. The expert team at 3-Day Blinds handles all the heavy lifting. They design, measure, and install so you can sit back, relax, and leave it to the pros. I love 3-Day Blinds because they are stunning. And as you said, if you're looking for a professional environment mm-hmm. or a cozy home environment, they hit the spot. They look great in a room.
It just upgrades a room. That's all you need. And with 3-Day Blinds, you can choose from thousands of options that fit any budget or style. Plus, from light filtering to blackout blinds, which I love. Also, motorization and smart blinds that work with Alexa. 3-Day Blinds is a real upgrade to your home, not just a replacement.
3-Day Blinds has been in business for over 45 years, and they have helped over 2 million people get the window treatments of their dreams, so they are a brand you can trust. Right now, get quality window treatments that fit your budget with 3-Day Blinds. Head to 3dayblinds.com/keepit for their buy one, get one 50% off deal on custom blinds, shades, and drapery. For a free, no charge, no obligation consultation, just head to 3dayblinds.com/keepit. One last time, that's buy one, get one 50% off when you head to the number 3dayblinds.com/keepit.
Keep It is brought to you by NPR's It's Been a Minute podcast. Is social media bad for your mental health?
No way. Shut up.
Are we spending too much time on other people's weddings and decisions? Why is heteropessimism trending? If the culture's asking it, NPR's It's Been a Minute podcast is talking about it.
It's Been a Minute stands for your right to be curious, one big question at a time. 4 days a week, host Brittany Luce breaks down the ideas, trends, and conversations shaping the culture. She goes beyond the obvious takes, talking with creators, critics, and cultural voices who help you see things differently. You'll hear dialogues with both up-and-comers and cultural icons.
Yeah, so the host Brittany Luce takes the things that everyone is talking about and gives you new ways to think about them. It's not just what's trending, it's why it's trending and what that says about us. It's Been a Minute knows cultural trends don't just happen by accident. Brittany and her guests dig into the latest memes to unpack how they got into your feed in the first place and why they're stealing your attention. And there are conversations that you want to have and the ones that you'll be bringing up later.
I listened to their conversation about heteropessimism, which, by the way, I already had. I was like, the world is catching up with me. And it's a good feeling. With podcasts like It's Been a Minute, NPR is here to listen, ask more questions, and take your curiosity further. Follow NPR's It's Been a Minute podcast and indulge your cultural curiosity.
Okay, let's talk about Dancing with the Stars, shall we?
Okay.
I'm excited. So it's almost Mirrorball season. ABC is locking in its cast for its hit series, Dancing with the Stars. So the full cast list has not been announced, but we do know your friend,
yes,
Guillermo.
Guillermo Rodriguez and Jimmy Kimmel Live will be on this season. And
officially announced.
Since I have heard this, I've been like this, hands over my mouth like, girl, what are you going to do? So we've got Guillermo, and we've also got Sierra Miller from Summer House.
Yes.
Maura Higgins from Love Island. They've all been confirmed. That's all very standard.
There are some rumors as well.
Yes, that Jenna Dewan Tatum, formerly Mrs. Channing Tatum, will be on the show. Now, if
potentially.
You know, yes.
Like, that's a rumor, but it's controversial because she has a dancing background.
And excuse me, she is a dancer.
Yeah, no. I don't know if I love that. I you know, I know that they tend to have, like, someone who had, like, well, you know, JoJo Siwa.
Yeah.
I guess. Technically, she has a dancing background.
She also is just, I think, full of Red Bull.
Red Bull and glitter.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Not a bad
and
album
energy.
Title for her.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah, I mean, I think having someone on with experience is always a little bit of a cheat, but that doesn't mean they'll be the favorite.
Yeah, but here's the thing also. It is a television show, and I do think if I'm going to be watching dancing, can it be good like 1/8 of the time?
Yeah.
So Jenna Dewan Tatum going on there
you
and kicking
like
ass,
to see good?
Now I'm watching it. Like, the best season of Dancing with the Stars was when Nicole Scherzinger won.
Oh,
and
I disagree.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I like the bad dancers.
Oh, man, that's so interesting.
Oh, Kate Gosling?
Kate Gosselin, who was the same year as Nicole Scherzinger.
Oh.
Salt in the wound.
There's so many seasons, I do not recall them being on at the same time. What kind of universe were we in?
Well, I think Kate Gosselin was just kicked off first, and you know where she went? Nowhere.
And you know what? Like, she wasn't well-liked during her season.
No.
From the fans.
If I'm waiting for somebody to, like, have a downfall in a showgirls-like way.
That's all I want to see.
Okay.
I want the downfalls.
So you're like the person who watches the NASCAR race hoping they crash into the wall.
Well, let's not go. I don't want to see people hurt. Oh, my God. Lewis.
You're a murderer, right?
I don't want to see people hurt. Now, crash into a wall while you're dancing, maybe.
Okay, yeah.
But, like, I don't want to. This is my thing. And this is how I feel about dating shows. Like, when we have dating shows, we have all these people who are size zero with six packs. I don't want to watch pretty people fall in love. Mm. I want to watch, like, the balding guy who works at the car shop judge the beautiful girl over there and tell her what was she supposed to be doing so she can cuss him out later. I like imperfections. Mm. I don't want to see everything beautiful and neatly tied in a bow.
I have to say, you are never going to fit in the gay community. Your application has been rejected.
You're right. And I wish I could.
There's the door.
Let me tell you something. I wish I didn't like men because...
Oh, I feel the same
way.
It's
my biggest flaw.
Yeah, no. It's nice to have a poetic imperfection,
as we
do.
Oh, my God, again?
Yeah. No. Another one.
Here I am again.
There's
Lord,
eight of them out there.
Despite me trying to stay in this house. But no, I just... like it. I like, you know, I'm not a huge Dancing with the Stars person.
Yeah.
The casting part is the most interesting part when Dancing with the Stars drops.
Totally, yeah.
I think that's the most, the funnest part about the show is like trying to figure out who's going to be on. And it's always like the rumored, who's leaked by the person's team. Like
right.
Rumored.
And also, I think a problem with the show is like it's too heavily weighted toward the fan vote.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't actually know if I'm really watching a competition ultimately,
yeah.
Because it's about some other rubric that has nothing to do with the literal scores they are given
right.
on the show. I actually think my favorite part about the show is the judging. I think the people who yeah. judge the dances are very qualified and also get the soundbite down to the word. They're never talking too long. They have just enough personality.
They keep it short and cute for you.
Yeah.
You know, they're saying also that Tatiana Ali will join this season, which I am excited about.
Like, this is a gorgeous woman. I have always loved Tatiana Ali.
I love Tatiana Ali. And she, again, someone who has resilience and been in this business since they were a child.
Yeah.
So like...
Ivy League educated, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, just kind of like started getting her legs back because she's been on Abbott Elementary.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Yeah, she's been on Abbott Elementary.
She was in that show
seasons.
With our friend Brisha Webb.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, I like to see people win and conquer. And if this can bring opportunities to her, I'm here for that.
Yeah.
But would I watch and vote every week? Probably not.
Would you say the Kate Gosselin season is the best season?
I mean, I'm gonna be honest. I don't watch every season.
Yeah,
so
no,
I don't
likewise.
Think
no, you're a human being. I understand.
You know, I will say I felt like it did take a downward turn when Tyra joined.
Yeah.
You know, it did.
Also, Tyra was wrong for that. Tyra, again, on Project Runway, you know I'm disturbed by Tyra being good at this work.
Yeah. Like, I like her on Project Runway. I didn't find her likable in what I watched on Dancing with the Stars because it was very, like, it's all about Tyra.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, I mean, you know, sometimes I think when you're hosting something where there's a cast, you forget it's not about you. It's about, like, the dancing and the cast. And you're just kind of here to help the audience along and be our guide. But Tyra will take you on a detour.
Right.
Tyra gonna take you on a detour and talk about her outfit and her hair and, you know, what she had for lunch. You gonna hear a lot.
Right. No, she is the polar opposite of the person who originally hosted the show, Tom Bergeron,
yeah.
who formerly of Hollywood Squares.
Do we still miss him on the show?
Yes. I mean, like, I love Alfonso Ribeiro.
You
I love
do?
Him. Yes.
Oh, interesting.
You don't?
No.
Oh.
I don't.
Shit.
Have you been around black people before? Like Alfonso
oh,
Ribeiro?
Oh, my God. You're telling me they don't like Carlton.
I think people like Carlton.
Oh, okay.
But Alfonso?
Are you saying this is like a Jaleel White situation?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that was even a situation
yeah.
until the words came out of my mouth.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But like, what is it? Just he's too bland?
No.
Oh.
I won't get into it today.
Oh, okay. I mean, I have questions. I just haven't thought about it that critically, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I actually don't think he's a bad host at all. I think I think he's good at his job. I don't love him, but you know.
I just will take him over someone like Mario Lopez, who I find like aggressively.
MAGA Mario, what options are you giving me here? The guy who just posted his niece in an AI graphic.
That really
getting pickle juice splashed on her face. Yeah, I'll take Alfonso over that.
That was a very baffling moment. Okay, I'm sorry I was comparing him to the scum of the earth.
Like, what are you giving me here?
Yeah. But I was
saying, you're actually making me miss Nick Cannon's hosting. Look where we're at. Help.
You know what? He wasn't an awful host, Nick Cannon, as a host. I mean, honestly.
Oh, God.
But, no.
I'm starting to realize these male hosts are problematic.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, by the way, we were talking about judges on reality shows earlier. Do you know what I can never get over? We just kept giving Howie Mandel show after show, and none of these people have ever seen his stand-up, which is what he is famous for.
Oh, my gosh. And it used to be raunchy.
Yes. The condom blown up on his head and all that?
As a kid, I would stay up and watch. This is when he had that head full of curly hair.
Right, right.
He's still hosting game shows, by the way, on Netflix.
No, he'll always host.
Yeah.
Like, he's like a consummate member of, like, television society.
There's this whole side quest of hosts now hosting, like, virtual game shows, like, you're the I feel like an old lady, on your phone, like game shows, but you can watch it on your phone. And it apparently is very lucrative.
I'm sure. It's like when you hear about like people directing verticals, like watching those, like I guess they're mostly soaps on these things. And they have crazy titles like My Billionaire Ex-Boyfriend Is Now My Milkmaid or whatever. And these people make money.
This is like so deep into TikTok, but they have these like ridiculous little short series. And it's like the vampire mermaid who, you know, loved the tomato lady. Like it's so...
Not the tomato lady.
Bizarre. And so
tell
crazy.
Me more about her.
We're getting derailed, pleasantly but I'm just saying, like, this is what happens when you don't watch Dancing with the Stars. You get distracted with all the other stuff. But, you know, it's interesting that, like, The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, we know it's a Hulu show, so that's why there's, like, this ABC connection. I think a lot of people are wondering why so many people from that cast, aside from it being a popular show, are getting casted, and it's because it's, like, a family show.
Yeah, but also it must be said, like...
And I mean in-house family, not family for your kids.
Yeah, right.
Meaning, like, it's ABC and Hulu are family.
But also, like... People on reality shows, one, should be on Dancing with the Stars because they're in that, like, who are you? I still need to learn your name, and now I will learn your name kind of part of fame. But also, secondly, like, those people secretly are the celebrities people get most excited about. Like, they see them the most often.
True.
They have the parasocial relationships with them. You know, it's not the same thing as, well, you know, another person I'm thinking about, Julia Stiles, star of Save the Last Dance, is a confirmed cast member, too. Ooh. Will people be voting for her?
Interesting. Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever said this out loud. Save the Last Dance, I've always hated that movie. But when I hated it, everyone loved it. And I felt like I was in the Twilight Zone. And now I feel like everyone has caught up to my hate for the movie because her solo, I thought, was the worst thing I'd ever seen in a movie. And I do want her to replicate it for Dancing with the Stars. I would watch the season just to see that because you know she's going to do it.
Well, here's the thing. Save the Last Dance was filmed in my hometown.
Was it?
Lit in my high school. At the beginning of the movie, she's in an all-white high school. And guess whose it was?
Were you in the background?
I was actually a year too young
to
have been there. But then I watched the movie and I'm like, well, I'll never bring up this movie again. It's not good. And I have to say also, it's like, right, the dance scene you're talking about is the climactic scene of the movie.
Sure.
And it's not like, I don't know, Black Swan, where you at least kind of believe the drama going on.
And the boyfriend's like, yes, you nailed it. I was just like, give me out. I think that's when I realized I'm too grown for this.
No, she looks like she's playing a bunny in a school play.
She does. And but I will say, I hope I see it.
Yes.
She's got to do it.
No. It's like when Jennifer Grey was on, like she did the Dirty Dancing thing, which by the way, that was a good season.
That was a good season. Do you think like she'll hold it and keep it for when she's on the block? So like she could, this is a dance that'll save her.
She should. That said, it's like, again, I don't really know what the cultural cue is for Julia Stiles. Like, do they remember her from 10 Things I Hate About You? Do they remember her from Say the Last Dance?
Dexter. Or,
I guess Dexter.
Great season of Dexter.
Yes.
You know?
She had some state. She played Oleana once.
It's always just such an interesting pairing with the mix of reality stars because whether or not like someone you feel like this person is hot, like Julia Stiles, Tatiana Lee, these are OGs. These are pros.
Yeah.
And then you're like putting them with a former contestant from The Bachelor and you're like, is this a good pairing.
Yeah, right. Like, and it's crazy that they're all going to lose to Guillermo. It's wild.
How well do you think he's going to do? Have you talked to him about this?
Yes.
Okay.
He has prayed on the show that another pandemic happens so that he doesn't necessarily have to do it.
Is he terrified?
Yes, I think so. But he's also like kind of game for anything. Like the on Kimmel, like we'll throw him, like he's in all our integrations, like the commercials we do for the show that like, are, you know, product placement stuff. And he will do literally anything. So I don't think it shocks him to do this stuff. That said, I think the physical grueling component will weigh on him heavily.
Does he have a family?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So is he
wife,
just,
kid, yeah.
Is he like, okay, now I got to spend all this time away from my family, but he gets a little coin.
That's true. I'm curious, do like voters, do people voting on Dancing with the Stars know who he is? Like, is there a built-in fan base? I'm sorry, this Andy Richter shit last year really blew my mind.
Yeah.
Andy Richter, you know, I'll say it is not Ginger Rogers. He was not like flying across that parquet floor making, you know, but people, he found a way to rally people to vote for him. So it is this weird...
Anybody's game?
Yeah, Dancing with the Stars is this weird show where it's like everybody knows the show, and yet it's shocking it's still so popular because it comes from this monoculture time. And then equally interesting is who are the fans and why are they voting for these people? It's so interesting.
I forgot. I'm blocking out of time. I used to do said visits.
Yeah.
To Dancing with the Stars when I was over at CBS. I completely forgot about it. But I used to go because they're, and I forget how their studio used to be followed by paparazzi. Like paparazzi would wait outside just to get, was that, they might still do that. I don't know. I feel like I've been out that culture for a while, but I remember like going to do a set visit with Elizabeth Berkley.
Yeah. Oh.
And who, by the way, was fantastic.
It was a great dancer. She was,
and a lovely person.
Yeah.
Nothing like Mario.
Yeah. Stunning, too. I enjoyed her on the Saved by the Bell reboot.
This is what happens when you drink water and mind your business. She does not age. She looks incredible.
Well, so that's also what happens when you marry into the Lorraine fortune.
Yeah, well. Yeah. That too. She might have a little medical grade skincare up her alley, but like, you know, it's just, I just like people. You know who also looks incredible from the cast? Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
I also just love her in general. I enjoy Tiffany Amber
Thiessen. She's fun on social media.
Yeah.
Like she on like the gram, she's fun.
Yeah.
She looks great. Her daughter's her twin. Like they're so cute.
I had Mark Paul Gosselaar here too. Lovely. Yes.
Everybody is, but...
Yes.
Yeah.
And also, Screech, listen, may he rest.
You know. And you know, we pray for Lark. Hope that she's doing well.
Me too.
I hope she's doing well.
Lark is so stunning.
I would love to see Lark on Dancing with the... someone who I think could really benefit from this show.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, they need to bring Lark. I love that.
Lark on Saved by the Bell was so funny. And that character, like the stuck up girl.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah. Of course. Curls for days, please. Yeah. Fashion girl. I was here for her. So yeah, I mean, I feel like they should let us cast next time.
Oh, sure.
We would come up with a way better list than this. Tyler Cameron, I'm like, why are we bringing him back?
No, also, as you know, I believe casting is the gay superpower. Like, why are we just not put, you know, it's like, I can't explain it. I have a sixth or seventh sense about who belongs where and why. You've got this too, though.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I do this with everything. I do it with a venue. I'll go into a restaurant and be like, you know what? This should be over here.
Yeah.
Like, I just come in, I'm gonna structure some shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a third. You know, we just do what we do. And so I feel like if they put me and you in charge of casting, that next season would be fire.
Oh, yeah. I'm gonna watch this season, though. I'm excited.
Yeah, I think you and I should commit to just watching and getting involved. We can keep talking about it.
Right. No, and then we'll rile the Housewives of America who presumably watch this. And then, you know what? I'm kind of down with being
friends
with them.
There's no real Housewives this year. They're doing Mormon Wives instead, which is interesting.
Yeah.
I would have liked to see like Phaedra on this.
But also, maybe they've just gone through most of them now.
Maybe. Because I don't know. Was Kenya Moore on the show?
Oh, she definitely was on the show.
Oh, see, I was going to say it would have been a great time for her to come on.
Right.
To get back her way into Housewives. But damn, we done squeezed that juice.
But also, by the way, do it again. Who cares?
They've done All Stars before, right?
Basically, yes.
So they should do that again. I think an All Star season would be good for the next one.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, if RuPaul can have an All Star season every 15 minutes.
Please.
Yeah.
Everybody wants their faves back. You know, she's just been announced a new host of Miss USA. Mm. So I feel like she's trying to dibble and dabble and get her way back to the Housewives.
Okay.
So this could have been a road for that.
I love Kenya Moore.
Yeah. Anyway, next time call us.
All right. Yeah. We're right here. L.A. Like down the street. They're at the Grove or something, right?
They're literally around the corner from where we are.
Yeah. Right. Right now. Yes. Anyway, we'll be back with the saltiest portion of the episode. It's Keep It. Mm.
Keep It is brought to you by Nutrafol. Summer calendars fill up fast. Weddings, concerts, sporting events, backyard barbecues. It feels like every weekend has something going on. And when you're out seeing people and making memories, it's nice to feel confident in how you look. And that's one reason that we've really loved Nutrafol and having it as part of our routine.
Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand. And it's the number one hair growth supplement brand personally used by dermatologists. Nutrafol's hair growth supplements are peer-reviewed, NSF certified for sport and clinically tested. It's not a one-size-fits-all approach. Nutrafol offers multiple formulas for men and women tailored to different life stages like postpartum or menopause and lifestyle factors such as a plant-based diet, so you get support that's actually right for you.
Yeah, so adding Nutrafol to your daily routine is very easy. Order online, no prescription needed, with automated deliveries and free shipping to keep you on track. Plus, with a Nutrafol subscription, you can save up to 20% and get added perks like free Headspace membership to support your health journey.
Let your hair become one less thing taking up space in your head and see thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding in just 3 to 6 months with Nutrafol. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you visit Nutrafol.com and enter promo code KEEPIT. That's Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code KEEPIT.
My name is Erin Haynes.
My name is Mitch Landrieu.
My name is Jennifer Palmieri, and we're hosting a new series from Left, Right, and Crooked Media called Long Play. For both major parties, the path to winning America runs through the South. But to win it, you have to understand it.
And that's where Long Play comes in. Across six Southern states, Long Play examines the issues driving voters and the assumptions that no longer hold in a region that could shape the future of our politics and our country.
You can binge the whole series right now by subscribing to Long Play Series on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Jonas Brothers are running it back. Relive the Burning Up Tour and celebrate the biggest Jonas Brothers hits that have defined a generation. One incredible celebration. One unforgettable night. See the Jonas Brothers live across North America in 2026. Get tickets now at LiveNation.com. Jonas Brothers, the Burning Up Tour, all over again.
And we're back. It's Nina and Lewis, and we're here for the spiciest part of the day and a little unhinged, I would say, for
get ready
for us, right?
Sure.
It's time for Keep It.
I'm going to punch my fist into my hand like a bully on a TV show.
You're going to give a knuckle sandwich?
I miss knuckle sandwiches.
I think I'm going to bring saying that back.
Yeah. Like you're one of the little rascals?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want a knuckle sandwich?
And let's well, here's the thing. I know I'm going to get it from you.
Let's see how it's going to go over. I'm going to say it to a stranger.
My Keep It this week is about the most popular song in America. And I would be actually shocked if you knew this song. I don't think it's come up yet. Ella Langley's Choosin' Texas. Do you know this song?
I don't know who Ella is.
Okay. Well,
I don't know
that
woman.
She is brand new. And here's the number one thing you need to know about her. She is styled exactly like Marie Osmond. So I am immediately rooting for her.
So it's like country but glittery?
Yes. And also, like, you know, parted this way with like the hair and like the big eyes.
Sure.
And, yeah.
She brunette?
Quite brunette.
Okay.
Quite brunette. This song is called Choosin' Texas. It's like, I guess you would call it a ballad, but it's sort of mid-tempo.
Choose in Texas?
Choose in Texas. C-H-O-O-S-I-N apostrophe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is this a like a pro-life ballad?
Yeah.
What's going on with
I'm going to go ahead and say no. She's in love with a guy, and she thought she convinced the guy to be into Tennessee, where she's from, but she can see he's choosing Texas.
Oh, okay.
Here's the thing. So
what a rock and a hard place.
Yeah. Well, you can see it's a ballad. There's tenderness there because, you know, the options aren't good. A lot of people online have complained, what the fuck is this song? This is 19 weeks at number one. This is the same amount of time as, like, Shaboozy, as Old Town Road. So it's like, you know, every once in a while now, just in the new age of the way they tabulate these things, so one song tends to take over.
Yeah.
You know, short of Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You, it is like the most popular song in Billboard history. A lot of people said, what is this song? I've never heard this song. I need people to get over it. This is the best record released this year.
What?
When I put this song on, do I look like a country fan to you?
No.
Do I look like I'm choosing Texas? Do I look like I'm even choosing to look at a map of Texas?
And you're telling me. You really believe that this is the best song of the year?
There is something about this song.
Really?
The first notes are like, and you're immediately transported. Like, it's like a jukebox takes you to a tavern in the South, and you're in this woman's life.
Oh, well, this sounds like a nightmare. Lewis, I got to say, you're 2 for 0.
It's the movie Sinners.
Tennessee,
are you ready?
Yeah. A tavern. This does not sound like a safe space for me.
I will never drink a beer.
You know what
they're
doing in the South to black people right now, honey? Let's go on ahead and wrap this up. What are you doing to me? You want me to go to an old tavern in Tennessee?
I don't need you to choose Texas.
Because this sounds like a setup.
I'm looking out for you, I swear. I would rarely choose Texas. This song is so popular and so replayable. I'm just, there's something about her too. Like, I'll compare her to, are you ready, Rihanna? Where, when you hear Rihanna's voice, you suddenly know everything about her. Like, there's character there immediately. And that's what I think she has.
Okay.
So I support that, because how many people, like, you know, American Idol contestants who can sing really well, they sing and it's just that they sing well. There's no person there. And I feel like she really does have the personhood.
She's a good storyteller. Because Rihanna's a good storyteller as she sings.
I think that's exactly what she has. She has that quality. Yeah.
Okay. So that's what you're doing.
I could kind of picture Rihanna singing this song. Which
really?
Is
yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, I need people to stop pretending it's not an amazing song. It is a song, and I hope it wins record of the year. And in fact, it would be awkward if it didn't.
It's always interesting to me, though, when there's like this artist that half the country is saying they have never heard of.
Yeah.
I know that Doja Cat just did an interview where someone asked her about this artist and she was like, I don't know who the hell that is.
Yeah.
So it's always interesting to me when it does so well. And it makes me think one of two things. Either I'm really out the loop with country, which.
And so
fair,
am I.
Fair yeah, and yeah. valid. Yeah. Or is it a little payola?
I'm always thinking about payola.
Because I'm like, what? How does this go from 0 to 100 like this? Like, it is a little questionable, no?
Yeah. But again, it's like, how can you even do payola now? Like, in the world of Spotify and radio and wherever songs end up that make people hear them?
I don't know. I just feel like there's a little hub somewhere where this man in the basement is running game on phones or something. It just feels unnatural. I don't know. Are things supposed to climb this quickly so fast?
No, it is suspicious. I mean, who is she? I mean, it's like very weird. However, she did do an interview where she said bold Chex Mix is her favorite snack. And I have to agree.
Bold?
Yes.
Is that like
that's the
extra
black bag.
Seasoning?
Yes.
Ooh, that's harsh.
Excuse you?
That's a harsh snack.
You were just defending like, black people, and then you said extra seasoning?
Yeah, because that tastes like cigars. It's not seasoning. It's just strong on the extra.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm a salty person in every way.
Yeah, and those little, like, what are the little cardboard things in the Chex Mix that no one likes, but certain
are you talking about a rye chip?
Yes.
You don't like the big chip?
You like a rye chip?
Please.
Oh, my. You know,
I'll break an incisor on a rye chip.
Let's get Lewis checked out. Because
no, wait, how do you feel about a Gardetto?
I think I like everything in there but the rye chip.
Wow. Okay, so this is just rye chip.
And I'll give me
bias.
The regular. Yeah, and give me the regular. Like, this extra seasoning is a little harsh. You don't think?
Oh, no. No, please. It's like filling up my senses. Like light in the forest, quoth John Denver.
I'm learning so much. It's just so strong. It really feels, I feel like when you open that bag, it's like you're going into a cigar bar.
No.
Like, it is stank-a-dank.
How do you feel about a salt and vinegar chip?
Hate.
What's, damn it.
It's funky.
No, that's it.
I don't want a funky anything.
Honey, I'm like Sly Stone, honey.
Do you
I'm
like
deep
Funyuns?
Funky. Yeah, not a chance. Do not throw that at me. What? Let's talk about the color of a Funyun.
Now you want to get pushy.
Not a dank, urine-colored chip.
I used to, baby, let me tell you something. A little Funyun and a little grape soda?
Grape soda.
Baby.
Grape soda I love.
I used to love me some Funyuns.
I call myself a grape apologist.
I'm learning so much about you through your snacks.
Oh, yeah. Grape anything is it.
Okay.
A grape popsicle, please.
Okay.
Grape Skittles, go off.
Yeah. Better than a red.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, no. Because what is red? Cherry?
Yeah. Cherry or strawberry usually.
No.
But usually cherry.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Well, this is giving me something to think about. I still don't know about this tavern in the corner of the woods. You're going to have to, that you might have to keep.
Okay.
But I will listen to the single.
It'll take you to a lovely Eastside LA bar. I feel like that's the vibe also.
Okay. I still don't frequent that either, but we getting warmer.
Okay.
At least I'm back in LA. Lewis would have me in these woods, child. I feel like he's trying to get rid of me.
Jesus Christ. What is your keep
it? All right. My keep it is keep it to binging TV.
Okay.
I'm over it. So right now, my two favorite shows are Lioness and Furious on Hulu. I'm obsessed. If you have not, first of all, female-led shows and just strong women on the cast. Just everyone is killing it. And they're dropping once a week. And that's been the formula for Lioness since they started. They drop once a week. Furious also drops once a week. And it's really given back. I know, like, The Pit also drops once a week.
Yeah.
And it's why we had it through April.
Totally.
So they just announced that they're coming back in January, and it feels normal. I'm like, this is what it felt like to be 12 years old, and your favorite show just took the summer off. And then you have something to look forward to again. I'm so used to the shows that I love just taking 3 years off, and you don't even remember how you connected with it anymore. There's something about, like, you know, when, like, Wednesday came out, and everyone loved Wednesday, and it was done so quickly, and now it's like it's an afterthought. We never really had an opportunity to, you know, have people write ridiculous think pieces, debate with your friends about the show, because you're binging it kind of on different schedules, and someone watched it all on Monday. There are some people who are saving it to, you know, their holiday weekend, and it gives it kind of like, I don't think that's the way that creators intended it to watch, and I've talked to a couple of actor friends of mine, and they all hate it too, because they work for years on a project that's done in 2 seconds. and they don't even feel like they get an opportunity to savor it. And I really like appointment TV.
Oh, yeah. It's extremely nostalgic for me. It reminds me of just like the heyday of ER. You know what I mean? Like, oh, here comes the live episode. Or like, oh, you know, Dr. Ross is like going to have this confrontation or whatever.
A cliffhanger.
Yes. I also feel like what you're describing is going to go back to the norm soon, because I don't think anybody likes this. Like, no. Also, it's like when you binge these things, like, you're so alone with it.
It's a lonely
viewing session.
I enjoy watching things as a family. I enjoy going on threads and searching the hashtag and seeing other people come up with theories that I can disagree with them on.
Yeah.
Or, you know, find someone who noticed something that I may have missed, especially like with Lioness specifically. Like, that cast is on threads posting about the episodes with viewers. It's such a fun, like, family experience, and it makes me want to watch the show more.
Yeah.
And I like that they're so engaged, and I think it gives you an opportunity to soak that up. It's just, I really love TV, and I love the experience of TV and having those conversations. And I do feel like binge culture has kind of ripped that away, and it has created this like insatiableness with TV that I don't love anymore.
Yeah. So I would say all my favorite limited series like were released one episode at a time. Like, I don't know that I would have watched every episode of The Undoing with Nicole Kidman and Hugh Grant, but like the way they spread that apart was made it so fascinating. Like, I had to watch the finale with my friends. Mm-hmm. You know, Big Little Lies, same thing.
Yeah.
We're talking only about Nicole Kidman TV shows.
Listen.
Yeah. But I went to my friend's house and they had on Lioness, which I had not seen, even though I'm a Nicole stan.
Yeah,
and
I was surprised.
And, Zoe Saldana was getting water tortured, and I immediately turned to nobody and said, Zoe Dark 30.
You know, we forget about Zoe being a, you know, like an action
Oscar
star.
Winner.
She's an Oscar winner, but like, let's not forget, like, Colombiana is a lot of people's cult favorite.
Totally, yes, yeah.
And so I forget she's very physical in this show. I mean, she is a badass in this show.
Yeah, I love her. I love Zoe Saldana.
She definitely made up for the Nina Simone choice.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I just broke my nail.
Yeah. Well, no,
my nail just broke in anger, in protest.
No question has ever been more apt than what happened, Miss Simone.
Yeah, I think she don't want us to bring that up again. And you know what? I was always going to bring it up, but then she came out with Lioness, and I said, go ahead, shut me up there, Zoe. You shut my ass up then, girl, and that's how you do it.
Well, also, three seasons deep. They have gone, like, pretty fast on this.
They're working on season four now. I actually do know one of the writers who's writing on the show for season four. And so I'm really excited that it's coming back for at least another season. And so it's such a fun, like, listen, this show is about, like, CIA. It's about spies. It's a fun watch. And again, like, you get to ramp it up. And I like that. And Furious was a show I actually went to while I was waiting for Lioness. So it gave me an opportunity to search for something else and have room for something else, because I wasn't spending a week binging this. So I don't know. I think Netflix should really take heed to that. I think one of the reasons they have this sophomore slump is because of this binging culture, which I know they created.
Totally,
but
yes.
Like, mm-hmm. Maybe we can do two at a time. I don't know. But I enjoy the once a week drop.
I also just think we need a new TV show to be obsessed with. I feel like since Widow's Bay, we've been waiting for the next day watch.
Yeah. I've been over here with Lioness and Furious. Come on to the couch.
Okay. No, I'm ready. Furious, I'm also ready for.
Furious is one of the best shows on TV right now. And I can't sing its praises enough. And there are so many like character and layers and action and things that I didn't expect, and things are coming from out the blue and comedy that I didn't expect. It's dark and funny at the same time while also dealing with heavy topics. If you don't know what Furious is about, it's about a woman who, Emmy Rossum, who's an FBI agent who is looking into sex crimes, and she starts following a female serial killer who targets wealthy men who participate in sex trafficking.
I'm there.
Did you get it?
Yes, yeah.
And if you got all that, then go ahead and click play.
Grant her the Emmy, Rossum.
It's a couple people on that show who deserve it. And everybody, let me tell you something. I love it when people are acting down and they, like, you got to keep up. And I love seeing that. So, again, this is just my pitch for the once a week drops for everybody across the board. And maybe that will turn us back to the good timeline.
Yeah, right. We're just excited about entertainment, period,
right,
as opposed to just inundated with it.
Because I think we're in a bad place right now, child. We can't eat lettuce. We can't do nothing.
No, the blueberries are killing me.
The blue, everything. But I had lettuce yesterday and I'm like, just take me, Lord.
Yeah.
Like, if it's my time, I'm gonna go, but I got to have some lettuce. I got to have a Caesar salad and some fries.
Something has to fill up the wrap. It can't just be the chicken.
Yeah, I'm like, they recalling everything. Like I said, people getting measles, all this kind of stuff. We might as well die happy.
Yeah, right. Scratching. Yeah. Happy and scratching.
Well, listen, I mean, I'll have more Keep It's next week. I think you will too.
Okay, yes. I've decided to come back. Well, actually, it won't be next week. Yes, we have the week off ahead of Labor Day. We'll be back after Labor Day.
That's right.
With more labor.
With more labor, some shows for you guys to watch. I'll do more on what we're looking forward to.
Yes, this fall. I can't wait. Mm. Keep It is a Crooked Media production. Our show is produced by Caroline Rustin, Kelsey Gante, Kendra James, Lindsay Gomez, and me, Louis Fertel. Our team includes Matt DeGroat, Rachel Gajewski, Delon Villanueva, Claudia Shang, Nia Kalman, Jay Banks, Charlotte Landis, and Jordan Cantor. Our staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
My name is Erin Haynes.
My name is Mitch Landrieu.
My name is Jennifer Palmieri, and we're hosting a new series from Left, Right, and Crooked Media called Long Play.
For both major parties, the path to winning America runs through the South. But to win it, you have to understand it.
And that's where Long Play comes in. Across six Southern states, Long Play examines the issues driving voters and the assumptions that no longer hold in a region that could shape the future of our politics and our country.
You can binge the whole series right now by subscribing to Long Play Series on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You ever get the feeling the city walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating your soul? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe chase some elk, fish a private stream. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there, and finding your own piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forest, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, location, the kind of hunting or fishing you dream of. Land.com. It's where the adventure begins.
Real value shows up in reliability. You don't have to second guess. Like a set of Firestone all-season tires. They're designed to deliver confidence-inspiring wet weather traction and a quieter ride, no matter the road, season after season. Firestone all-season tires. For durability, you can count on. Just like people count on you. Firestone. Always dependable. Since 1900.